This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnan, one of the employee owners at Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we're on with Daniel, and he's got a laptop that he has put a lot of time and energy in to try to get corrected. You've replaced the hard drive, you've replaced the RAM, and still the machine does not seem to want to work for you, correct?
Correct.
Anything else that you've done to it that you wanted to let us know?
On two separate occasions, it did overheat and shut down.
So?
Okay. So what I did was I stuck something underneath it to keep it supported, and I haven't had a problem since.
All right. Well, you have still had the problems, though.
Yeah,
you have another shutdown problem. But so when we were off air, we were saying we think it's heat. I thought it was heat. Dennis kind of concurred. He thought it was the motherboard too, though. So you could, if it's an older machine, you could have a lot of dust buildup and all the heat sinks that are inside that thing.
I've opened it up several times. You know,
you have
swapping out drives. Yeah.
Oh.
It just really disappoints me because this machine has everything I need. I mean, as far as what it can offer me.
Right.
It's got, well, the internal DVD, it stopped working right months ago. But the only thing that I really like to use on is the webcam because I do a lot of video stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah, you can go buy a separate webcam, and I've got another machine I can do that with, but
yeah.
I'd rather just use the one that came with.
Right.
And it's got a 17-inch screen. I mean, come on.
It's a workstation like Dennis said. You spend a lot of money on this.
Yeah, that's not just a laptop. It's a portable workstation.
Right. And with a probably a pretty powerful processor in it. Is it i7?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I still think it's heat.
Yeah.
So you can track air. Now, you got to be careful with canned air in that it can cause condensation, and then you turn the machine on and it zaps it. So be careful there. But try to blow it out.
Okay.
And I got a feeling you've got quite a dust bunny in there, and it's overheating. Or whatever... I mean, usually there are fans in those older workstations.
There's two fans, and they both work.
Okay, good. You can get also a cooling. There's an extra pad you can buy. That's a cooling pad.
Yeah, you can get those too.
And it could be, that might help you, because you've already changed out the RAM, you've changed out the hard drives, which is all good, and you did the right thing. To have you start changing out motherboards, it would be the next step, and obviously it makes no sense to do that.
I wouldn't even attempt it on a laptop. I mean,
yeah.
I had to change a display on a old HP with a 6710.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
That was an all-day affair. But anyway.
Yeah. We don't have any magic besides the fact that we think it's heat. Very good at what you did, all the great things that we would recommend you do.
Oh, absolutely.
That's because I worked in IT.
Gotcha. Yeah, we thought you had a little knowledge there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think
that's
it's
what's embarrassing to come to you guys when I... Oh, yeah, I worked in IT for over 20 years. Yeah, right, I can't solve this stupid problem.
Hey, nothing to be embarrassed about. IT, as you know, is a collaborative effort.
Yeah, it's, we spend most of our time doing that with other folks, so it's completely normal. Yeah, so I wish we could tell you an extra little secret that we've learned since you've been not doing it, but no, it's I think it's heat. It actually gave you that indication when it shut down due to a heat warning there. That's, you clearly have a problem with the machine overheating, which couldn't cause all those other issues you're experiencing.
So you would expect that it's an actual hardware problem with the machine, as you say, like a motherboard or some other component.
Yeah. Well, you've changed everything else out. You've already ruled out operating system and all that fun stuff because you changed it all out. And the RAM, you changed out too. So blow it out, add some cooling. What else you got?
Now, if I really needed it repaired, absent me trying to do it, where would you recommend I do? Take it to someplace such as yours or go to Geek Squad?
Mm-mm.
You know,
none of it. I wouldn't tell you. So if the machine is in that 5 to 6 year mark, how old is this thing?
I don't know. I mean, she bought it for me as a birthday gift at least 6 years ago.
All right. So as far as I'm concerned, I would pronounce it dead. I would not spend any more energy on it as you already have.
Okay.
It's just not worth the time and energy. If you know, the hourly rates for folks, and we don't do any work with the general public, but hourly rates for some of this stuff can be quickly added up to $300 or $400 before you know it. And
well, the other thing is you can spend, you know, $300 or $400 to get it fixed.
Mm-hmm.
But all you've got now after that is a working 6-year-old laptop.
Right.
And what else is going to go on with it after that?
Yeah,
and
that's true.
You may as well take that, you know, $300 or $400 and make that part of your down payment on a new laptop.
Yeah.
And then you'll have a future with a laptop that's 0 years old.
Right.
So.
Well, very good. Guys, you get some good advice, and I appreciate that. Oh, before I go, there's one other thing I wanted to compliment you on.
Uh-oh.
You guys have been on since, what, about 2008?
95. Since 95.
Okay. Well, back in 2008, you recommended a software for doing recordings, like live stream recording from a company called High Criteria.
It could be.
And the program you suggested was a program called Total Recorder.
Yeah.
And it was made by High Criteria, and I purchased it way back then.
Yeah.
The best recording software, bar none, to record streaming audio on a computer if that's what you need to do.
All right.
It is perfect. It is actually professional grade, and it doesn't cost that much.
Cool.
So
we'll link it again.
I'd recommend that, highcriteria.com. They sell it.
Sounds good, Daniel.
All right. Thank you very much, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we've been on, I mean, this show has been on WTI since 95-ish. Basically, when Windows 3.1 was starting to get the Start Me Up song there with...
With the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, thank you. Windows 95, which came out late, as usual. Real quick, though, speaking of advice, we were talking about Garden Talk. We haven't seen Garden Talk on the air here for a while, and I wanted to make sure I give you guys the one weekend-saving advice that Len Giddix gave me. And it's not to rake your lawn in the spring, because all you're doing is planting the weed seeds. All right. And it made complete sense. And it saved me a whole weekend of my soft, you know, supple hands getting destroyed by a rake, trying to rake my yard nice and clean. Don't do it, Glenn says, because you're just planting the weed seeds. Save me a weekend, guys. So you can tell the wife you're not going to rake the yard. On Glenn. Blame Glenn. We have four lines open, five or so. We're still going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And feel free to get online. We'll help you out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. Of course, you can also listen to us on the Odyssey app. If you subscribe to the podcast, you'll never miss a Computer Talk show ever. And you can listen to it probably for like a solid year and never hear a different show, just continuously. And it's probably good to put you to sleep. Feel free to get online with your questions. Everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and the lines are starting to fill up again. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number as we wait for Carolyn to take your calls. We didn't bring up some news. Anything you want to bring up, Dennis, that you thought that MSI story might be interesting?
Yeah. I kind of touched on this one before.
Yeah.
but the MSI company that manufactures, they're famous for making motherboards for
right.
computers and servers. And they're fairly good products, mm-hmm. So they're in high demand. They were breached with ransomware mm-hmm. on some of their systems, and it looks like the bad guys got a hold of a lot of their source code. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that hasn't really affected their production or anything.
No.
But the ransomware group is demanding $4 million or they'll release the source code. One of the things that MSI recently came out with was a note, you know, a little bit of caution telling people, you know, don't get any drivers for our products from third-party sites. Make sure you get it from us. And they must be thinking that the source code is going to leak
mm-hmm.
and other bad guys around the world are going to be rewriting new drivers
right.
and then trying to get people to install those instead of the bona fide ones from the company itself.
Mm.
And it's just a big mess.
It is.
And, you know, it's just more ransomware.
More attacks. You know, make sure you protect yourself if you're a business. Two-factor authentication needs to be in place. Security awareness training, web defense, email defense, EDR technology, MDR technology, all has to be in place. And doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg. At least it doesn't through us. But it's a great way to protect your systems from this stuff. And obviously, your people, too. They have to be trained. So the security awareness training helps. Still, you'll get dinglings out there that will click on things they're not supposed to. But you know, got to get all this stuff in place to at least try to prevent what's going on out there. Segmentation, all sorts of great things you could do to prevent some of this. Let's go to I can't believe it, another Chuck in Berlin.
Wow,
or is it the same Chuck?
Good, no, different Chuck.
A new Chuck. All right, what's going on?
Chuck. Yeah. Just call me Chuck.
How much Chucks can a woodchuck chuck? Go ahead.
if a woodchuck could chuck, never
Wait.
Mind.
Yeah.
Okay. You actually answered my first Outlook question. I guess it was your first caller this morning.
Yeah. All right.
About the Outlook.
Yeah.
But my second question, is there a way I can copy a, let's say, a whole, subdirectory or whatever, you know, I save them, the different tech emails into different directories. Can I copy that over into a text file that's searchable?
Mm.
That is what I would like to do.
Well, you are searchable when you have it within the Outlook, and if you create an archive.
That I know, but I'm just a little leery of Outlook. I want to get rid of it. Actually,
I don't know where that came. All that came from. Outlook is just a mail client. Don't be yes. leery of it per se. It's okay to have it. So sometimes I worry that we're creating a whole bunch of IT folks that are just scared to death of IT. You know, there's some things you can be leery of, but Outlook itself probably is not one of them. But you know,
well, okay, I have Outlook 365, and I'm not tired. Every year, I'm tired of paying these fees, and I was just you know. Well, you, to make sure I have a backup to some important to be important files.
Okay. I don't think there's going to be a way that, or maybe there is. Dennis probably did a little searching while we were chatting.
I am looking into it. One thing you can do mm-hmm. is you can click on emails, individual emails, including multiple ones, mm-hmm. and you can do a file save as and in text format.
Right.
And it will just create a big text file with all that mail.
Right. That I would be happy with that. Okay. All right. So I'll just, okay. And you'll post this on.
We can post that. Yeah. We can post that out there at Computer Talk.
If you don't mind. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Now I also got one other comment. Two weeks ago, you guys were talking about the issue of landlines, telephone landlines, and you kind of made a casual comment about just ripping it off the wall. just to let you know.
Yes.
I didn't.
You know what happened, Chuck? It wasn't that the cable provider literally cut and ripped it off the wall when the cable company came in.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Whatever. But just to let you know that when I was in school,
yeah,
electronics school, 19,
oh Lord, 1965. Mm-hmm. The instructor, we had this safety course.
Yep.
And the instructor was telling us about the telephone guy taking this thing off the wall.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to him, they had the homeowner had was using telephone wires for electrical connections.
Yikes.
And he had a flashover.
Sure.
And
there is a little current on these things. Like if you touch a 50 block,
110 volts or something like that, which is typically, which I never worried about 110 volts, but whatever happened, the arc had burnt the flesh from the palm of his hand to his elbow, burnt it down to the bone.
Wow.
So safety is number one. Don't pull it off the wall. You got to know what you're doing.
The only issue, though, is, Chuck, if there's actually juice coming to that extent that's connected to things that are not designed to have that kind of juice on it, you actually probably have more risk of a fire than anything else. So, I mean, that was a weird story.
Do you know what a flashover is? It's a self-sustaining arc. So once it starts, you don't need the current. You don't need the current. You don't need the voltage. The flame is so intense, hot, in the first millisecond, it's self-sustaining.
Wow. No, that's pretty unusual then. Mm. But yeah,
no question about it. Very unusual.
Yeah,
and just to add that, and while he was telling us this, you know, back those days we had CRTs, the
cathode ray tubes. Yeah, yeah.
Correct. And he was pointing inside there and talking to us, and he was telling us, "Don't wear any jewelry. No jewelry at all." And as he did that, he touched the capacitor
and zapped himself.
Zapped himself, but when he pulled his hand out of the chassis, the only jewelry he had on was a wedding ring.
Yep.
The ring caught on the edge of the chassis, and it pulled all the skin off of his finger. What a bloody mess that was.
Yikes. When I started
why I remember all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it's graphic. When I started my career, we used to work on System 34 tubes, these green screens, and we actually had to take, and you actually stuck a probe inside there to take that energy out of that cathode ray tube.
Discharge, those are the good old days.
The good old days. Thanks, Chuck.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
enjoy your show.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being there. Okay. We are chock full of Chucks listening to the show. But yeah, I mean, it was the story had to be with the cable company comes in, and I'm just going to cut this, phone line because, of course, they don't want the competition. Yeah. And now on my wall, there's old phone boxes there. They're all cut because they were cut by the other providers. So I was just going to take them off my wall. They're on the outside there, but he's probably right. It's always safety first. You never know. There's like blocks of stuff on the old telephone systems in our clients that have these 50 blocks, and if you touch them, they're electrified. You can get a good zap. Zapping out those cathode ray tubes was definitely fun to do. Did you want to bring up anything else, Dennis, before we go to the next break?
Well, Microsoft has made a change to their storage policy for their free Outlook.com email accounts.
Free?
Free.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've changed how they allocate the amount of storage you can have.
Okay.
They used to allow you to have 15 gigabytes of mail with attachments.
Yep.
But you also had 5 gigabytes of OneDrive storage.
All right.
Well, now what they do is they count the attachments in your emails against that 5 gigabyte allotment for OneDrive, and you can actually very easily go over that.
Yeah.
And turns out that some people are finding out that their accounts are locked. They can't send or receive mail because
they're out of space.
Yeah.
It's kind of like with the ice cream you used to buy that are half gallons. They're still in the half gallon shape, but they're only like a quart worth. Same idea there with Microsoft. They've been watching that. All right, so we're going to be here for another half an hour. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast.
With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And we are back. We got plenty of lines open for you guys. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And Dennis and I will do our best to help you out. Let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Ken in Windsor first. What's happening, Ken?
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I've been trying to convert to one of these smart homes, and I've got all these devices in here for lighting, for weather, for thermostats, door locks, cameras, etc.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been away for a while, and I have not, you know, some of these things have dropped off the network.
Yep.
And there's no way to reset them when you're not there.
Right.
I'll get to the biggest problem of all. My network was unreachable, and I called Comcast, and the people on the phone said, you know, well, they can do a quick check on it, and they weren't able to get into my modem, and they said, well, you got a problem there. And I said, well, I don't know that it's my problem. It may be your problem. You know, maybe somebody hit the box at the street or cut the cable or something. And, you know, they wouldn't come out to the house unless I could meet them. And I said, well, I'm not there, you know.
Yeah.
Long story short, I went on with them day after day after day calling in. And they finally scheduled somebody to come out and check it. And I wasn't going to be there, but I said, well, I'll pay the $100 just to have somebody go out and check to see everything's good without getting inside the house. And right, you know, a couple hours before they were supposed to show up, I get a call. I think it was from India. And the guy said, well, we're canceling that appointment. You know, we can fix this remotely. And I don't know what he did, but it's been working ever since.
Yeah.
So the question I have is, I had found something on the internet, but I cannot relocate it, where you can actually log into your modem and you can check certain voltages and frequencies and settings internal to the modem to check the health status of it. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, yeah, some of them you can. Not all of them have that ability. In some cases, the modem itself just doesn't really have an interface because they just don't include that programming in them. In other cases, it's because the cable company doesn't want you to get into that. They don't want you doing anything with the modem itself. Now, there's a complication here, okay, which is that some people have a modem which also is their firewall and can even be their Wi-Fi access point. So you can have a device that's 3-in-1, okay, or 2-in-1. And whether or not that you can get to that diagnostic data from the modem functions is just a matter of whether or not they include that in the interface. Now, I have at home, I have Charter or Spectrum, whatever they call it now. And there is a way that I can log into my modem and I can see those figures. I can't interact with it. It just shows me the readings from the signaling. But that's just something that they allow me to do. And the address for that is by default, if you have a Charter Spectrum modem, it's 192.168.100.1. You just load that in your browser. There is no login. It just loads it up.
That's on the inside, well, not on the outside.
Right, that's on the inside of your network, right.
You can't do it from the outside, probably.
No. That's not accessible, except to them.
Right, so
okay, I have a separate route, a modem. It's a Cisco that I purchased.
Ah, okay.
And it's, what is it, a DCP-3008.
Okay.
Okay, that's a similar model to what I have. That's a similar model. So if there's a way... I don't know how you could do it, okay? If there's a way for you to get inside your network somehow, and then you can load that that address from inside your network, you might get that information. I can't say for sure.
But most likely all they did was they either disabled that MAC address on that modem, and then all the guy in India did was say, oh, I see this thing is, he's a switch flipper. He flipped the switch. That's all he did. Because whoever you're talking to, the support should have realized that long ago with all the calls he made.
Right. Or there might have been some kind of a routing flaw on their end, and it just wasn't, there was no traffic flowing to your modem.
Right. So, you know.
Well, I know I talked to somebody else where I was at from another company. And he asked me if mine was DOCSIS 3.1, and I said, no, it's a DOCSIS 3.0. And he said, well, maybe you ought to upgrade that. That'll help.
That shouldn't make
a difference. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't go from...
It sounds like it's more of an upsell, you know?
Right. Yeah, that wouldn't be be necessary.
Yeah, that's the first thing they tell you when you talk to them is, oh, you need more bandwidth.
Well, they do. Now, here's the thing, though, Ken. If you, quote-unquote, made a smart house, I'll put that in air quotes, smart house... basically, the problem is when you lose internet connection, it gets stupid.
It is. That's right. It's worthless.
Correct.
Totally.
And it really should be that you'd have a local controller with inside your smart house to deal with all this stuff, but they don't want to create that. So what you need to think about is something called a failover. So you need to consider possibly a wireless failover, because if you're not at your home and you still want all that technology to monitor things and make sure you're thermostat's at the right temperature and yada, yada, yada. You need that failover. So when your internet goes down, it fails over to your wireless service, whether it be T-Mobile, Verizon, or whatever. And you need a modem that has a second WAN, I'm sorry, a firewall with a second WAN port.
Right. And that has to be, you have to be able to configure that for failover too.
Right. That's
okay.
That's
I know that T-Mobile's trying to sell that. I don't think their signal is strong enough in my neighborhood yet for that.
Then check Verizon. You can check other services to see if they offer it. So you can solve the issue by simply having that failover, test the failover, and now you're good. Now you don't care if Cox goes down or whatever.
Well, most security systems, professional security systems, do use the cellular network, so they can't be interrupted as easily as these wired systems here.
Yeah. So the smarter your house gets, the more important it is to connect it to the cloud. Now you'll have two inputs into your network. So keep that in mind.
All right.
All right.
All right. Well, I'll look to that in the future.
Sounds good, Ken. Good luck.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right. You got it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, you had a smart home story before we go to break.
I did?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah. Garage doors.
Yeah.
Garage doors.
Smart garage doors. What was the story?
This deals with a flaw in the NEXX garage door activation system where you can have an app on your phone that will use Wi-Fi to open the garage door.
Even a non-smart garage door openers, it actually makes them smart, right? This little NEX, it's a little box that you attach.
It activates the door.
Yeah.
Now, it turns out that there are some problems with that. Number one, transmissions to the next device are in plain text.
That's not good.
Nope. And the other issue is that there is a universal password that can control them. And I think that's probably manufacturer's own back door that they manufacture into it.
Yeah.
Which they shouldn't be doing at this point. But at one point, that was very common.
Yeah.
At any rate, Mike G found an article where NEX has actually gone and disabled that function on all their controllers.
Right.
So, in other words, they've essentially cut them off from the internet.
Bricked them.
at least until they can address the problem.
Right.
But it sounds like they still have contact with them so that they could deploy an update if they get around to creating one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this now the whole reason that you have this thing is so that you can use the internet to open and close your door.
Right.
Now they point out that there is Bluetooth functionality.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that.
But it's not handy if you're not home.
Right. If you're at work and trying to open your garage door for a visitor to come in or something, well, nope.
Can't do it.
No opening for you.
Nope. Yeah, I used to have those. They were a little kludgy. The batteries always went dead and you had to keep changing them on the garage door.
Batteries?
Yeah. You had to use batteries to put it on the door itself.
Right. But how come it didn't have like a power plug that you could use.
Well, that would be for the box itself, but the box itself didn't know if the door was up or down without having this little unit you Velcroed to the door.
Oh,
and that had
okay.
to signal, I'm up, I'm down, I'm up, I'm down.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, I upgraded. All right, we're going to step out for a break. Bill, hang on. We're going to get to your calls. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. We are back, and Carolyn's been playing some amazing stuff from No BS Brass, one of my favorite second-line bands. Definitely worth checking them out. Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Bill in Manchester first. What is happening, Bill?
Hey, good morning, guys. Appreciate your support.
Thanks.
Just a quick question for you. I just moved over to Frontier Fiber.
All right.
And I bought a Nighthawk Netgear on AX6600 in January, but I just got around to installing it. And when I did, as it was going through the installation program that you use through Bluetooth and finally started to connect, I got a message on Firefox that said there was an expired certificate. So I tried it with Edge, and I had a similar message, and I don't remember where I saw it, but I did see a certificate that expired in February 2023. And that's as far as I got, and I was just curious as to your input.
Well, I'm thinking that the certificate that came in the router probably did expire, but that's all right because you're talking to a device and you know that it's there, you know what it is, you know when you bought it, which was a little while ago, and it should be all right. I don't think that that would be a problem.
Are we sure it's the certificate for the router he's seeing, or is it just coincidental?
Well, here's the thing. How are you logging into the router? Are you using routerlogin.net to connect to it, which is how Netgear typically sets things up, or are you actually putting in the IP address of the router?
No, I went through routerlogin.net, and everything was going smooth until I got this
error.
I was in one of the steps to complete the installation. It just came up with an error on Firefox about the quote. There's an expired certificate.
Yeah. So it could be one of their certs for Netgear has expired. And to Dennis's point, it's probably okay. But it really is kind of messy and embarrassing on their part. Or it could be a third-party call that's happening to a different domain or something like that. Are you able to still configure the firewall?
No. I got that far, and it's stalled. And then I started looking for the certificate and started doing some reading.
Well, you can't fix it.
Yeah, you can't. No. There's no way you can repair that on your own. The only other thing that I can suggest is call Netgear tech support and make sure.
Well, right. That was my next thing, but I was going through their chat and it was too late, so I went to bed.
Yeah,
I hear you there too.
Is there a way to just get to the interface with the IP address, or do you have to go through that config? Because some of those they try to make it easier for users by using those interfaces, but sometimes if you just go to the IP address and log in, you're good.
Well, I think I'll give that a shot before I open the chat bot again. But I just wanted your input because I didn't think I could resolve the expired certificate either, and I didn't know whether it was somehow attached to their warranty because I bought it in January and didn't start installing it till April because of illness, you know?
No. This would be really kind of mean to say, well, you can't configure me. You didn't install me in time and I'm going to not let you finish because our certificate expired. No, I wouldn't do that. It's all them.
I would say it's all entirely on them. The default address for Netgear or Netgear router is 192.168.1.1.
Okay.
Yeah. And so you should be able to get to the GUI that way. All right. Yeah. Good luck, Bill. I was curious to let us know what happens.
Well, I'll tell you what. When I get it resolved one way or another, I'll give you guys a call back and give you the debrief. How's that?
We like it.
Oh, excellent.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys. I really do appreciate your program. Been listening forever. Please don't stop, huh?
All right. We'll do our best. My wife's giving me a hard time, but we'll do our best.
Well, you know, so is mine. I was up till 2. I'm still hearing about it.
All right. So we both can commiserate.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, you too. She's like, hey, we got a place in Florida. Occasionally we have to visit. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. That certificate issue is a common one. You see this, it can be false positives too. We've seen issues with Chrome and Firefox and these other, actually see a certificate as expired and it's not. And sometimes, I mean, you see this more often than I do in your daily work.
Yeah, I've seen it. We bump into it sometimes with websites. I'm just going to a website.
Right.
And then it'll report that a certificate is expired. But when you click through and then you look at some of the information in it, you see that there's a valid date that is not today or yesterday.
Right.
And it's like next week. And sometimes you can't figure out why the browser is deciding to bark.
Right.
And the only thing to do at that point is to flush the web cache. And sometimes that alleviates the problem.
Right.
And I've seen where that will work.
And the certificates are important in that they deal with validating where you're going. They also deal with encryption so that you know that you're speaking with your communications between the two devices are encrypted and correct.
Well, yeah, and the encryption itself depends on the certificate.
Right.
So
it's not, it's something that is, it's a necessary evil, but of course causes these types of issues. All right. So again, four lines wide open. Let's get another news article in here. So I had this goes back to a January thing that I've had, I brought along for quite some while. Months after the NSA, this is the NSA, our federal spooks,
right,
disclosed a Microsoft certificate bug in data centers, a Microsoft cert bug, it had remained unpatched. So basically, this is a CVE 2022-34689. This vulnerability can be exploited by miscreants to digitally sign malicious executables in a way that tricks Windows and apps into believing the files are from trusted legitimate sources. So we're talking about certificates expiring in this case. This is the same idea here. The bad guys, though, can actually trick it and put their own certs in there. Alternatively, the attacker can craft a TSL cert that appears to belong to another organization and trick an application into trusting that cert as well. Now, the thing that's so bad about this is a January article of 2023, and Microsoft patched a vulnerability in August of 2022.
Well, I was going to ask you if the patch is even available, but yeah, it is, and it had been for months.
Correct, and it was given a CVSS severity score of 7.5 out of 10. Later disclosed that Redmond disclosed a bug is in October. The IT giant said that the security flaw hadn't been exploited and wasn't publicly known. Well, of course, it's publicly known now. I mean, it's been known for quite some time. The thing is, that's the problem, is that you can actually figure out if these are data center servers. So basically cloud servers, right? These are in somebody else's data centers. These are all running Windows-based servers and data center endpoints. And they actually did some testing to see if these, you can actually send out checks to see if a server's been patched. The same way they did it with Exchange, with the Heffenum folks. They can see whether or not your server was patched. The FBI was helping all sorts of people out with that.
Yes.
In this case, they did a similar thing and found out that still 99%, as of the writing of this article in January, of all those servers had not been patched.
All right. So let's make sure we understand this.
Yeah.
In August of last year,
right,
a CVE with a severity level of 7.5 out of 10,
right,
that Microsoft patched.
Right. In August.
Right.
Yep.
Still existed at 99% of the data centers in January of this year.
Correct.
Oh my word! Yep. Are you kidding me?
I wish I was. I know this was a little funky here as far as talking about it on our show, but it was related to the cert issue this last caller had,
yeah.
And it's on data centers servers that are out there that are cloud based servers that we all use all day long. Who knows who's got them or where you're using them? But this is a pretty serious exploit. And then it will hit your Chromium browser, folks, when you're online and do whatever it's going to do. So we'll put a link up here for you guys to kind of read this. It's a little in depth, maybe a little more than you may want to get from a Computer Talk with Tab show. But it's just crazy that you find 99% of the things that servers out there are not patched even after this patch is available. That's kind of the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, and that's terrible.
It is, and it's common. And getting folks to patch servers, update servers, and even in our client base, where we got clients that are running 2008 servers, 2012 servers, these are old servers.
We've got clients that don't want stuff to be updated,
right?
And we can't viably do that.
No, I know.
But I mean,
you gotta update them.
You got to. It has to happen, man.
So keep on patching. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. Go UConn. We're really proud of you guys. And enjoy your parade. As UConn alums, we're very excited for you.
Woo.
And I want to thank Carolyn for producing. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live. And especially all you guys for calling in. Because, again, without you guys calling in, Dennis talked about our kids and our cats.
And remember, we want you to be geeks, too.
See you next Saturday.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.